We are going to study a Bible passage this evening, and it's taken from the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. We'll read verses 4 to 9. Philippians 4, 4 to 9. We are focusing on the topic, keeping peace in bad situations. Keeping peace in bad situations. Philippians 4, 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Can we put down the part on the board? Job chapter 14, verse 1. Job 14, 1. We want to remind ourselves of this passage. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Even the man that was not born of a woman, Adam, was Adam born of a woman? No. Even Adam was but for a few days and full of trouble. And children of God, I know that there are many things that we have to go through in life, and many of these things may constitute troubles. Troubles that can take away our peace. It may be health issue. It may be financial problem. It may be relationship matters. Business failure. Work or job harassment, unfinished project, and so on and so forth. And we see that for Job to have said this in the passage read, Job 14:1, we know that indeed he too went through it. And I would like to quickly point out that at least four things can happen to us whereby we'll suffer trouble. Four things can actually cause trouble. The first one is we suffer from trouble because of our sins. We can suffer of troubles because of our sins. Like King Saul, like Judas Iscariot, like Nebuchadnezzar, and so on and so forth like that. Another one is actually that we can actually suffer trouble because of other people's sin. Can you mention one particular name that we can never forget who suffered because of other people's sin? Jesus. Jesus Christ. We know that indeed this can also be a portion. If you read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, you see that Paul also suffered from sins because of his preaching. Of course, the Lord had told him that you will suffer many things for me on my behalf. The third thing that actually can bring trouble is because of the sin of Adam and Eve, which we inherited. In other words, the sin of Adam and Eve, which actually we say that if not for Adam, it's actually our own sins too. And lastly, can be sin, it can be troubles which actually may be caused by the temptation that will come from Satan. We know one example in this, a perfect example is Job. And so, we are told that there are three categories of people when we are talking about trouble, when we are talking about bad situations. The first category are the people heading towards it. Those headed towards trouble. They are not there yet. No trouble yet. Huh? But guess what? Something is looking at the corner. And those who are really in the midst of it already. Those who are in the midst of it. And of course, we have those who are coming out of trouble. Those heading for it cannot anticipate it. They don't know what actually it is. But those in the midst of it can feel the impact of trouble. And those coming out of trouble, is that they have come out of it well. They have a sense of relief and saying, "Thank you, God. I thought the storm would not be over, but now it is over." Not like the south, the southern wind, of the south what? Is it southeast? That we talked about in the during the vigil, that will bring some calmness. I'm not talking about that. You see, troubles actually have three things that can be done, that can actually, that it can bring to us. Trouble can bring an opportunity to prove our commitment to God. Can bring an opportunity to prove our commitment to God. And sometimes trouble can actually cause spiritual growth. Let's go to the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. James 1, 2 to 4. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." What about Romans 5? Romans 5, 3 to 5. Romans 5, 3 to 5. It's not for, okay? "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Children of God, When we come into certain things that are not good, certain situations that are not good, the passage we read at the beginning of this Bible study, Philippians 4, 4 to 9, actually has given us some things to follow to follow by. And I pray that as you read it, you will not say that it is easier said than done. Some would just look and say, oh, it is easier said than done. May I say that these things are actually written for us in order to benefit us when we follow the instructions of God concerning some things that we face. We see that God comes through. The first thing that actually we see in the passage, and that is Philippians 4, verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." What does this actually say to us? Is there any time that we cannot rejoice in the Lord? Are there things that actually will hold us back from rejoicing in the Lord? Have you heard near-death experiences in life to the point that you knew that you actually had a brush with death, but somehow peace reigned in you? Or are you so burdened by the thought of death? I remember a wonderful friend of mine, I will not mention his name, wonderful friend of mine, a pastor of high regard, you know, who said that in most cases, when you take your hymnals and you are singing some songs, the last verse, the last verse of that or of those hymns will remind you of what? Of heaven or death. And he said, I want to push it by. I say, don't sing that. Let's continue with life the way we should actually desire it. But the truth of the matter is this. We must focus on God instead of the situation that we may be going through. We must focus on God. You know, sometimes you are cheated by a fraction of money that you can easily let go. But because somebody fooled you, you want to dwell on it as if it's a big thing. And guess what? It robs you of your focus on God. Has it happened to you? Huh? My. Things that are just so little can cause you to have a sort of, direction in something else. But the Bible has warned us, and in many passages too, you know, that we must focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In this particular passage, you see, Paul was led by the Lord to say, rejoice in the Lord always. Always, not sometimes. And again, I will say rejoice. He's not telling us to be happy because we are in a bad situation. No, that is not what. When bad situations come, you want to actually, you know, think about it. What have I done to bring this about me? Have I done something wrong? Why is this coming to me now? What lesson does the Lord want me to learn? But to rejoice because of it. I know that the passage actually that we read says that you need to actually give thanks to God in when trials come your way. But the truth of the matter is this. When you're going through a difficult time, I don't actually believe that the Bible is saying, because of this difficult thing, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. Bad thing has come. Let me dance. No. And he's saying that we must focus on God, on the Lord. The Lord has something to teach us. We are going through it, but we are not going through it alone. And when difficult times come and you focus on the Lord, guess what? It will make you to actually have two things in your mind. One, to remind you that God is in control of everything that you are going through, of every circumstance. God is in control. Satan is never in control of the world that God has actually made. He may want to, you know, hijack it, unlike Christ, who actually will, you know, not in any way fight with God to grasp anything, because he knows that it belongs to his Father anyway. But he who actually has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, we want to hijack it. And so we see here, we are reminded, when we rejoice in the Lord, we are reminding ourselves that God is in control of the circumstance. And again, it shows that God will always allow only that which is good to come to us. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to those who loved the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. All things, everything. And therefore we see that we rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord must not die in us. When we have come to believe in Jesus Christ, his joy abides with us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, have I given unto you. You know, and that actually should encourage us. Then, if God knows about what we are going through and has allowed it, what do? We need to be at peace and take our rest in the Lord. An example of this, I believe sincerely that when we think about what happened to Peter when he was arrested, and James had been killed, they have beheaded him, and Peter was next. And what actually happened in prison? Peter was sleeping. Abi, the Bible says he was asleep. Can you sleep in the midst of something that actually is heavy, that is coming to hit you? It's kind of difficult. But Peter was asleep. Why? Hey, Lord, if this is my end, I know that it will glorify you. Daniel was not afraid to go into the den. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were not afraid to be put in the fiery furnace. Why? Why? Did you receive the tape of one man and the wife who actually gave somebody who was hitchhiking a lift? And the fellow got into the car and pointed the gun at them. Did you watch it? How many of us watched it? You know what? The man now said the man, the owner of the car, should come down, that was going to kill him. And then he said, "Who are you, by the way?" "I'm a pastor of a big church in town. Are you ready to die?" "I'm not ready to die, oh." "Are you ready to die for Jesus?" "I'm not ready to die." You know? How do you see that? But let me say this, not let us point a crimson finger at anybody. What will you do? How will you feel if that actually was happening to you? How will you feel? You remember during World War II, some soldiers that came to church and said that now those who are not Christians, who are not ready to die for Christ, should leave. And the church was almost empty. And the few people that were left, the soldiers said, now, we took them to go because they will not in any way keep secret. They are not for Christ. but for you, we are not here to kill you. We just want to give you some hints. If the governor of Lagos State should say that churches should close on Sundays now, no church will open, how many of you will come to church? Okay. No, don't let us go into that now. But the truth of the matter is this, when you make God your focus, you see that you'll be able to really rejoice even in conditions that are not favorable. We have seen so many things in life of people facing death. Some face it, with much hope and joy. And some would just be crying and saying that I'm not ready to die now. I don't want to die now, and so on and so forth. But the Lord God Almighty, who has said that he will not tempt us more than what we can bear, continue to make us strong, even in him, in Jesus' name. Secondly, it says here in verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. I say this as Paul saying, engage in service, in serving others through Christ. Don't dwell on your sorrow. Don't dwell on your pain. Even in your pain, you can still serve others. And by serving others, you dwell less on your own feelings. Sometimes we see that we just get wrapped up in a very little bad situation that we are going through, to the point that we make a mountain out of nothing. Out of nothing. No sand even has actually gathered, but we have made a mountain out of it. And here, we see that we make matters worse. We make matters worse. I've said something about the writer of positive thinking, but candidly speaking, the Bible is saying to us that we need to not allow negative thoughts reign in us. Negative thoughts can only make matters worse. And I'm not a medical doctor, but I know that the mind is so strong. And the Bible even says that you have the power to bring into reality that which never existed. We have that power. God has given us the power to bring it to existence. And we need to be very careful. And in not dwelling on our own situation, but looking into other people's situations, guess what? The peace of God reigns in us too. Who can give us an example of someone who actually did that? He was in trouble, but he did not dwell in his own trouble. What about Joseph? Remember Joseph? Why was he in prison? Did he do what actually he was accused of? No. But he did not go on moping around and saying, I'm not supposed to be here. Rather, he was very much in a place that he believed God was there. And the Bible says truly that God was with him. And instead of dwelling on his own problem, weighing himself down, he was addressing even the matters of other prisoners. And the Lord God Almighty made him someone to reckon with, because even the warder gave him authority right there in prison. In prison, can God be there? God is there. Then again, the Bible says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In other words, while we are focusing on the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord, and while we are actually helping others who may be in the same situation as we are, we need to pray. We must not forget prayer. We need to pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What is supplication? I'm not actually addressing English majors. I'm addressing Bible people. Supplication. What is supplication? What? Requests. And petitions. Requests and petitions. Make your requests and petitions known. Let your request be known, be made known to God. And we see that when we pray, especially when it comes to something that is actually not too difficult in us, we pray hypocritical prayers sometimes. But when we are soaked in trouble, guess what? We go to God truly and sweat it out. Is that true? And when you're feeling down, please, like some people say, like as we have said, don't say that because you want to be a Christian and you say, I'm strong. When you're sick, I'm strong. Okay, you come to be strong. The thing about it is this, let God know your feelings. Let the Lord know your feelings. But be careful not to pray according to what Jesus Christ our Lord wants us against. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. Vain repetitions. Don't engage in that. God knows what you're going through. Put it before God. Pray with right attitude. Pray with faith. Pray and leave it over to God. Tell God what is burdening you. Let your heart be opened. And after that, put your everything to rest. Put it to rest. Sometimes, I just pray that whenever we are feeling so down, as if death is coming and whatever, we'll dwell on things pertaining to heaven. Some people are sick, and when they are told that we will be flying you to America, guess what? They start packing. Have you? But when we say that we'll be flying to heaven very soon, I don't want to go now. And the truth of the matter is this, one day we shall leave this place and go to heaven. Read about things about heaven. Not because you're sick, not because you're thinking about death, but there is a place better than America, a place better than Germany, a place better than whatever country that actually they may be talking about in this planet Earth. That is by far, a place to desire. And that is heaven. And let it actually be that you need to free your mind. When you are thinking about things that are bad, when you're thinking about things that are not good, which actually verse 8 tells us, you lose your sleep. You will lose your sleep. But when you think about things that are true, things that are noble, things that actually have good report, and so on and so forth, sincerely, your mind is sweetened by it. It's as if you've poured some honey into what you want to eat, and you feel good about it. Jesus Christ wants us to know perfect peace. And he says that when we do all these things, peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will be ours. Peace. Peace. One thing that we know that Jesus Christ actually emphasized most as to what it will give us, peace and rest. Only God can give us rest. Sleeping tablet, guess what? May not help you. We know some people that actually will take sleeping tablet upon sleeping tablet and they will not be able to sleep. And here we are, enjoying the peace of God. Not because we are without trouble. I know some people, and I thank God for them. I'm seeing few of them even now, who lost a lot of money in this, what they call it, stock market. And you could hardly see it in them. You could hardly. That is real living. While some people would kill themselves, commit suicide. There was one that was really true. They called it Black Monday. Black Monday. Stock market crashed so heavily to the point that even all the money that you put in it became almost useless. And someone committed suicide only for the thing to turn around on Tuesday. What if it never turned around? Would that actually make you lose sleep? I believe in one thing in life. If I have something, God actually wants me to have it for his own purpose. And I need to ask, Lord, why? Why are you blessing me like this? Why? Let me fulfill your purpose. And if the thing goes, hey, when I never had it, I was alive. So now that it has gone, what is that? I will live on and praise my God. It has always been my philosophy in life, and I pray that Satan would never take it away from me. Because, look, life is not about what you have. There is nothing you can have that can be better than Jesus. That is life. And indeed, you did not possess him. He called you, and he is possessing you. You are his. That I pray sincerely that when we come to trials like this, we'll be able to think about this passage and find solace in it. God of comfort, truly give us comfort and grant us peace, and finally grant us rest even in him. I'll stop here for a few questions that actually we may have. Let me read Psalm 84 verse 11. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who work uprightly. You believe it?